Hello, everybody. Welcome to Homeschool, the podcast where Andrew Rivers and I tell monologue or dialogue jokes for a little bit with a guest comedian who's famous and amazing. And then we discuss life and comedy and what's going on in the world. This week, we have a phenomenal comedian from Minneapolis, Minnesota. You should check out his album, Coming In Hot, Like My Dick. Nate Abshire, everybody.
Actually, the title of my album is Like My Dick.
Just put a big old thumbs up on that dick when you see it on the internet.
It's good to be here, guys. Thank you very much.
So glad to have you. We're gonna talk to you a bit in a bit, but where should people see you live doing stand-up comedy or listen to you on the internet or whatever?
Does this come out? When does this come out?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Well, this week I'm at Acme Comedy Company in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'll be there the February 9th through 12th, and then again on the 14th for Valentine's Day. And then next week I'm in Milwaukee at Laughing Tap.
All right.
Very exciting. For the 18th and 19th. So got a couple good weekends coming up, which is rare for me. So I'm excited.
That's great. We were just saying it's been a minute for me. I haven't done a longer set for quite a while now, but I will be this weekend in Sacramento at Laughs Unlimited Comedy Club. And then Andrew and I will be co-headlining shows down south in Shreveport, Lafayette, Ocean Springs, and Mobile the 17th through the 20th. Oh, tickets are going fast. I mean, gosh, they can't even.
Do you guys sell really well in Shreveport?
Considering we just started advertising 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty happy with, you know.
Yeah, actually, it was at zero for a minute, and we were nervous. And we got
last minute. We booked like a 3-night run, and some guy was like, "I want to have comedy here. I do karaoke. I do all sorts of stuff." And we're like, "It's like 3 weeks away. I don't know if we can do it." And he was like, "We'll sell it by table. We agreed to some whole system." And then we were like, "Well, just let us do it our way." And now we're actually moving tickets. So,
all right, sweet.
Yeah. And we talked him into a guarantee. So he's fucked anyway. So,
are you doing the Lafayette? What's the venue in Lafayette?
Well, there's two, I think, that this Lafayette comedy works with.
So yeah.
We're doing the outdoor one that has the less famous people. Todd Berry just did their like indoor thing, and they got some other whatever, but the worst beer garden. Yeah.
That's what it's right. Called. The other venue is the best beer garden.
The best beer garden. Yep.
I'm from Louisiana. I lived in Lafayette for like the first 8 years of my life. I don't draw there, but.
You think people would go see us though?
<You know>? Well, that's why I was initially surprised that they were gonna.
Yeah.
You can't even get people to see me out. Right?
The Lafayette comedy people have done a really amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Jason's been great. So Leonard, I don't know if you know him, but very exciting. That's all. Anything else, Andrew? Both it's called a comedy club Thursday and Saturday this week.
Yeah. I'm doing a college in Farmville, Virginia, which I just found out is a real place. So I booked a little theater in Richmond, Virginia that has 70 seats.
Dude, I think you're just doing a show on Farmville.
I get all the lonely moms on Facebook to come to my gig. So, check me out there. And then, Corey, March 26th in North Bend.
That's right.
So make that happen.
Let's do it. All right, let's do these goddamn jokes. But first, a 3-second pause because I don't know how to edit things.
You're going to have to edit in laughter for our guest, but that's okay.
I was supposed to laugh there?
No.
No, nope.
You're not going to be required anything.
We can't do this. I don't know how to edit all this out. Anyway, all right.
I don't know how to laugh at your jokes. Listen, we got big news this week. I'm very excited. Personal life. I bought a new electronic device. It's very expensive and probably bad for my health in the long run.
A Hitachi wand? No. Oh, you finally upgraded your iPhone.
Well, that too. But I bought a new vape pen. Yeah. It's $200, but I'm hoping it will help me reduce the amount of weed that I'm smoking.
Is it one of the rechargeable deals?
Yeah. Oh,
it's a weed pen.
It's a vaporizer, yeah.
Wow. Huh. You reduce the amount? Isn't smoking weed easier? Like, at least the joint, you have to go outside or something. Now you just might not ever leave your bed and get high all day.
The only time a person is like, I bought something to smoke weed with, so hopefully I'll smoke less weed.
That's a problem with, like, the vape juice, you know, when you put the packet in. But this one needs flour, so you can only put a little bit in there at a time.
Baking.
You know, when I want to smoke a joint, if I take three hits and put it out, then it's just sitting in an ashtray calling me from across the room, you know, filling my house with wondrous smells like I'm walking by a Cold Stone Creamery. I can't resist.
I don't know if the delivery devices are the issue.
Yeah, you could just take a couple hits of the joint and throw it away.
Yeah, but I don't want to make a Native American cry. In my culture, we use the whole buffalo, right? They use nose to tail. I use stem to seed.
Okay, I see. Plus, a pack of joints does cost like $40, right? So that's basically what you make after a headlining weekend. You don't want to. You can't just let that go to waste. Long-term investment, vape pen. Okay, I see it, maybe.
Yeah, you have to make drugs difficult for the good of the people, right? When you put heroin in pill form, you get Ohio.
And it's a swing state.
Swinger state, I've been to Ohio.
We are fucked.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't put crack in a cookie. I got it, and I mean, I'd love to do an ayahuasca trip or whatever, but I can't afford plane tickets to Costa Rica to find a shaman. So, all right, this is making sense, I guess.
That's why I never got into weed until I was in my 30s, because all the kids who sold it to me beat me up in high school.
Yeah, and you didn't have enough friends to do coke. So.
Right. Plus, it vaporizes the weed, so it's healthier than just smoking it, I think. I heard.
People are saying
chemicals, just the good stuff. I mean, look, if Snoop Dogg hasn't had a cancer scare yet, I should be fine.
Well, I mean, you're clearly not a scientist. Where are you getting this information from, Joe Rogan?
Oh, shizzle. Well, I just googled, is vaping healthier than smoking, and it said probably, so I closed the tab. I mean,
that definitely no more research required.
Nothing. I mean, what, the earth is like 80% nitrogen. You're telling me my lungs can't handle a little bit of extra chemicals?
I hope you don't get COVID. But that tab you closed was just a Google Doc that you wrote. I'm glad for you, though. I mean, you shouldn't be lighting tiny little fires in your house with no smoke detectors anyway.
I have smoke detectors. I just took all the batteries out.
Ah, I needed them for that vibrator, huh?
Yeah. So overuse. No, I'm very wealthy. I just have high ceilings. It's tough to put them back because they start beeping, and then, you know, I don't have the specific batteries, so I'm like, I'll change it later, but then they stop beeping, so I don't care anymore.
I get it. So, like, if you can't hear the detector go off, you can't even have a fire, right? It's like, if you don't take an STD test, you can never have chlamydia.
That's all sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah.
We have lots of Google tabs that we are.
I can tell you guys are doing your research in real time.
Yeah. Look, at Nate gets it, and all of Corey's partners are going to get it too. But little weed is harmless. You know, I mean, it doesn't, I don't spam dick pics anymore. I just get high and send photos of sunsets, you know?
Anymore, huh? Oh, boy. We're about to get canceled. But thanks for including me on that list, by the way. How do I unsubscribe?
Can I have his spot?
Yeah. I'll send you.
Me to propose?
Oh, Corey, I think you froze. Yeah, Nate wants to take your spot on the sunset list there.
I good? Am I good?
You're good. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, does that line work? Was, you know, just scouting locations to propose to you? Like, is that?
It does not work. Everyone I send it to is ghosted me. can't joke around with marriage with a bunch of women. But even Corey, you didn't text me all week. What the hell? What's going on?
Oh, I was on a big golf trip in Bend in Oregon, smoking cigars and catcalling women. For a week, it felt like America was great again, you know? Let's go Bandit, right? But I digress. Coincidentally, while I was there, I shared a room with a dude named Andrew who smokes weed heavily also.
So oh, you're replacing me.
I didn't even try and finger me. But he just smoked weed in the room with, like, the window cracked. And it was, like, the first time I ever even thought about tipping the maid. Just like, hey, keep this between us. If you want some weed, leave a light on.
Wait, you don't tip the maid?
Yeah, why don't you tip a maid, Corey?
No, because I never interact with them or even see them. For me, tipping is 100% trying to trick people into thinking I'm a good person. So.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. It's like if you donated to charity and no one knew about it.
Like exactly. Yeah, like the Bible says, you're supposed to tell everybody, right?
What do you tip at the glory hole? I mean, technically, there's not, you don't get to see them. You don't.
Usually the glory hole is just the. God
damn it. Sorry, Harry. Yes, sir. See, I don't do premises. Yeah, I was able to get to the punchline faster.
Slower, you know?
I don't do setups. What did you do all weekend, Andrew?
I had a great weekend of comedy. I was working with Christopher Titus at the Tacoma Comedy Club, my comedy father. I met him 13 years ago when I started, and he taught me everything I know.
He's to blame. So that comedy apple fell far from the tree and hit every branch on the way down, I think.
Isn't it weird how you can have a father figure that's not your actual father? You know, like your dad wasn't good enough, so you had to get filled in on life from.
Yeah, but whose dad is good enough?
Nobody's.
I mean, like.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like all of the best dad role models aren't dads.
Mr. Huxtable.
You know what I mean? Like the people that I really look up to pulled out.
You're gonna be pulling out too pretty soon. So
well, your father figure is kind of literally filling in during this pandemic. It's not quite a dad bod, but a little bit of a stepdad bod there, huh?
Oh boy, I do get offered to do porn a lot, so that makes sense.
Oh really? I get what you mean in general, though. You can be raised by music or comedians or a radio show host, hopefully not a podcast host, because you wouldn't even listen to your real parents, right? Right. It makes you feel cool. Like I could affect people's moods with just dick jokes, right?
Yeah. Do you have a father figure, Nate? Who's the person that raised you?
I mean, you know, every other weekend it was my real dad. but no, that was about it. I'm like, even for an only child, kind of a crazy loner, where like I'm just like I don't get talk radio. I think that talk radio and podcasts are for people that just like need to hear voices. They're for people that are used to having like siblings and conversation in the house. Because like
voices to talk to besides the ones in your head.
Yeah, we're like, I'm like, man, I'm just so fine alone. Which also well, is technically like a mental illness, so and I get that.
Andrew, your dad.
Well, my dad said he was raised by Captain Kirk from Star Trek because, you know, he showed him leadership and problem solving and kindness for humanity and.
Yeah, it also helps you learn that space is lonely, just like your mom's basement.
Hey.
My dad.
or your dad every other weekend's basement. I don't know, whatever.
My dad, like, found Jesus later in life, but he uses Jesus the same way that he uses everything else. Where like he's still, even though he's found religion, he still finds a way to be a dick about it. Where like, when my stepmom's pissing him off, he'll be like, I'll just pray that you find a way to figure this shit out. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you're still being
shitty. That you fix your fucking attitude. Wow. Right, I don't know if that's really the spirit of the prayer, but
it's fucking great.
Yeah. I mean, this is perfect example. Like the Bible, who knows? That's why it's important we remove books from libraries that teach kids, you know, bad absolutely lessons, you know?
Absolutely.
Freedom of speech means you should have to pay extra for the good stuff.
Honestly, who reads anyway?
I feel like overrated.
Texas right is just cutting out the middleman.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I've taught high school for 15 years. These kids aren't reading books and they're not learning lessons from them at all.
Right. Who cares if kids think green eggs and ham is normal? They already have purple hair. You know, I mean,
when I was really fun to do like a boomer podcast where the whole time we're just like the kids these days anyway.
Hey.
Oh, that's really funny.
I mean, when I was a kid, I read Calvin and Hobbes. I've never peed on a Chevy. It's fine.
They're worried about pornography in libraries. Like, honestly, the library might be the least likely place to find pornography, right? If you get past all those blocks and computers, internet's super slow and a librarian's looking over your shoulder. That's the way I like it.
You be quiet while you're jerking off
from behind.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, all I had to do to see a pussy was look in the mirror. But you know, boom. Come on, why does that joke work better than every other one? But it's finally
believable.
Finally, a couple of straight white guys can take on this Joe Rogan topic. I'm glad he's getting some backlash. We can have people saying certain words, otherwise racism might come back.
Right? Yeah. It's not socially acceptable to say those things. This is why we don't have any racism anymore. It's too bad that cunt Louis C.K. was canceled. He'd have quite a take on this.
Too bad. Anyway, before I forget, sorry to do this in the middle of the podcast. Hey, Corey, I think we should cancel that Renton show in May. I just realized Chris Brown is coming to town. I really want to get tickets.
Yeah. For sure, he's gonna hurt our draw and some women, but
probably separately.
Clearly we have overlapping fan base with him, right? People who like bad entertainment from horrible people. But well, should we do a, we haven't seen each other in a while, should we do a movie night next week?
Hell yeah, Sister Act 2, can't wait. Whoopi Goldberg is my favorite.
I have some bad news for you. She's been suspended for 2 weeks from The View after saying the Holocaust was not about race. So,
well, I mean, she ought to know more than anyone else, right? Goldberg, isn't that Jewish?
No? She's not. No, not well, Jewish. I don't think so. Listen, if the Jews run the media, they're doing a terrible job of getting their message out there. Let's watch The Hangover instead. There's nothing.
Well, it's a great flick, but Mike Tyson's in it. That's kind of, might be problematic. Let's just stick with something safe like Air Bud. You know, nothing bad possibly happened with Air Bud.
Oh, that pot smoking dog? All right. Plus, I just Googled it. He was canceled.
He could play basketball with his lungs all in bad shape, but.
I Googled it. He was canceled for some non-consensual humping at the dog park in 2017. So.
Oh, god damn it.
Yep. Nope. Can't do it. Can't do something that. Else. Another idea?
Oh, Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson, famously pro-Jew.
Nice Christian movie. All right. This bit is getting old, but... Why do people even want to listen to Joe Rogan anyway? You know, they don't trust CNN or Fox. I mean, come on. When has the mainstream media ever let us down before? Besides WMDs and lockdowns are effective and Tom Brady retiring. And
those three are on the same level of importance.
Joe Rogan really pissed me off when there was that week where he was in the news because he said that he was flexible enough to blow himself, but had never done it. And like, first of all, you're a fucking liar.
I forgot about right. that. We never wrote anything.
Secondly, like, How homophobic do you have to be like, I could, but I don't.
But I'm not gonna.
But I don't.
Didn't even try it. Fuck.
I won't you. Even jerk off in a room with mirrors.
I don't even look at it when I touch it.
I jerk off like this, man.
The whole time I go, no.
That's why I make Corey touch it. You know, I don't want to be gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know.
Wow.
I
Corey, just... if you're so free, pro freedom of speech, why did you take your music off Spotify then?
Well, they took it down on their own because they don't want to pay comedians.
Oh, wow.
So, that's why I'm proud to say Neil Young and I are both moving over to Amazon Music, a totally non-problematic company that is known for paying fair wages.
Yeah, Amazon is great. They love the planet. They built that huge rainforest in South America. It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Real big one. By the way, my comedy is still on Spotify, so if anyone doesn't want to make the switch.
Mine too, actually. So
you can still listen to mine.
Oh, I should check. I don't even know.
Better than mine, but it's a close second place.
Looks like you've been, you got more Google tabs open there. You need to read further, an encyclopedia maybe. Worried about you kids these days.
Yeah. Rainforest? I'm not worried about the youth. Actually, I hang with my brother's kids a lot, so I'm forced to watch the kid movies because they're not allowed to watch the adults play Call of Duty all day.
Oh, because of the violence, right?
No, it's just all the kids on Xbox Live yelling the N-word. You know, we don't have a headset, but... kids movies are better than movies for adults. They're all uplifting messages. Encanto was great, you know, like, hey, you're still a good person even if you can't lift six donkeys, and the strongest people need help sometimes. I think those are good little nuggets the kids don't even know they're learning.
I don't call kids little nuggets, please, but
I was so drunk when I saw Encanto, I think that I was the target demographic.
It's a cool movie. I like
it. Also feels like illegal to watch a kid's movie that drunk, but
with kids, but yeah. That you don't when you don't have kids.
Uncle Nate's babysitting. All right. But we don't.
Those kids' movies are a lot of times better because they have to make the jokes more clever and subtle and clean. You know, you could really learn something from that, Andrew, but you don't like any of these current movies? What's the deal?
I saw Don't Look Up on Netflix. It's just hard to parody real life, you know? Like, wow, there's a giant meteor about to hit Earth and the president told you to drink bleach. This is more like a documentary, actually, than a movie, you know?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, it's almost time to interview our guests, by the way. Do you have any time to solve the Canadian trucker rallies? Can we do that in this last couple?
Honestly, I don't even know what's going on with it. I was going to call my Canadian girlfriend and have her explain it to me, but she's not real. So, big issue for me.
Well,
what's the Canadian trucker thing? I like saw a headline about it, but I didn't give enough.
I think they're protesting some lockdowns or all the truckers.
The capital, Ottawa.
Yeah.
Capital Ottawa has some mask mandates and stuff.
Canada, you're supposed to be the stable country that we all move. You're supposed to be the plan B. You can't.
The truckers in Canada are the same as the truckers here. That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Edmonton and that whole province is like Texas, and there's oil and there's all sorts of shit. So they just,
travel restrictions here, though, pretty soon, you know.
They're lifting, mask mandates are about to ease up. You have to finally admit that girlfriend's not real because she can get here now. But I'm excited. California and Oregon are ending their mask mandates next Tuesday, February 15th, for vaccinated people and liars.
Wow, they're ending mask mandates the day after Valentine's Day. Everyone knows that's a super spreader holiday.
Ooh, boy. Not for me. Valentine's Day is the day after the Super Bowl. My girlfriend is going to stay more than 6 feet away after I eat that bean chili dip. You know what I mean?
Come on. Well, I hope Washington is next to lift the mandates, but I'm not holding my breath except when I'm in a photo not wearing a mask.
Like California governor.
Yeah.
That's just because he was next to Magic Johnson. Didn't want to get that HIV.
You can breathe in AIDS. You don't want to.
You know who else is holding their breath? My girlfriend, after I eat all that bean chili dip at the Super Bowl. Come on, folks.
All right.
All right.
Why is the HP office jet printer talking to me? Get out of here. Get out of here. Get off my
computer. It's trying to tell you that you have HPV. You've been refusing all your tests, so it's getting out of the thing.
Well, our guest today's nickname is Bean Chili Dip. Welcome to the... I don't know.
It's that's me. I'm Bean Chili Dip.
That'd be a badass nickname. Nate Abshire, everybody. Give him a round of applause.
And man, the winner of the Helium Coast to Coast Roast Battle.
Woo! Yeah.
Narrowly edging out a victory over Team Seattle.
Yeah, there was just not really any competition in that whole
undefeated season. That was pretty good, though.
Literally,
there was not a lot. There was like four teams that tried, I felt like, during the
It was hard to find someone that gave a shit, for sure. I don't know. It was really fun to have something to do at a time when there was no comedy at all.
Yeah.
So that was...
My only regret is that the finals happened a week before the George Floyd incident. And so
I
thought it was so much more material than it wrote in Minneapolis.
Well, I'm sure it would have gone over great.
Well, we've got a new one every week. So
you just needed a little bit more. You need another week to breathe. You could have. All right.
It was fun. I mean, I feel like... I feel like Minneapolis was like the comedy in Minneapolis was really like, let's go support our boys. Like, I think it was all plants. I don't think that we really won that fair. In fact, I'd like an official investigation.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember I watched and there were so many people being like, well, Andrew has a dry bar. And
I was rewatching some of that this week, actually, because I was like, oh, I want to go back. You know, we're going to talk to Nate. And then I was like, I put him up on my YouTube if anyone wants to go see him, but there was so many people like, oh, Andrew's got 10,000 Instagram. I'm like, I get 30 likes on a post. Like, no one cares about anything I'm doing. Like, the world is ending and you think I'm going swipe up to get tickets to my roast battle.
What do you think that I'm not getting paid for?
Yeah. So I remember there was like all these comments and I was like, what do people think? Like, they don't just look at the jokes and go, oh, wow, he tried and he wrote a joke, you know. It's so weird.
I went back and watched a couple of them and they were a lot less funny than I remembered them being.
I like Mark Norman roasting us in between every
The best joke in the whole show was Steve Gillespie. The very first show he was against LA and he was like, LA has one of the highest divorce rates in the country. They've even managed to divorce stand-up from comedy.
Great.
Fucking great. Just the best joke.
Oh, that's really great. That's so fun. I enjoyed watching. There's nothing else to do, obviously. I must have been the reason that I enjoyed it. But I think that, what was
you vote for Team Minneapolis or Seattle?
What was that?
You voted for Minneapolis, didn't you, you bitch?
Yeah. They won by one vote and it was me. Sure. there was people that I remember like from week to week, there was like people that were new that like other people dropped out. And I was like, what do you have to do? It's like middle of a pandemic. I'm busy. I don't know. Got a date.
I just remember when they asked me to do it, I was like, oh, this is a reason to not drink. For a period of time,
it was kind of like you had to moderate it until the showtime because you're like, I gotta write and I gotta be somewhat sober and coherent for the actual show. And then
so that part was nice.
Atlanta, I remember, like, they were the only team that I felt like they were like actually mean, like they were like upset when we won, you know, and getting your pussy on the camera.
Yeah, he's being a real asshole right now.
I just saw his asshole actually, but
yeah.
I just remember, like, you know, every joke they'd be like, ha, And they like, you know, like
frown. There were a couple of rounds that had weird vibes like that. Yeah. I don't remember who it was specifically, but I remember like people were like getting mad.
Would have been funny if we were to the point of the like, I'm sure a lot of people could do this pretty easily, but you could have just had like sound effects that you were putting.
Right. They were like photoshopping my face on weird photos and then being like, yes. Andrew looks like a farmer. And you're like,
well, you put my face on a
roast joke. I don't,
you know. Like comics who create a haircut and then do 20 minutes of jokes about it. And you're like, well, you made that haircut.
Yeah.
I remember there were a couple of rounds where someone did something that crushed. But it was like weird, and for them it was a slide thing. They did like a slide thing. Also, Team Atlanta is very funny, but the slide thing, and then they like brought the slide thing back like too hard, where it was like, okay, maybe just once in a while kind of thing. But there was another guy that really crushed with like a catchphrase in one of the rounds, and then he tried to do it again the next round and it just died. And I was like, yeah, that felt like it was a one-time thing. Because I think he would just like say something that was just like a vague insult and then like say something like, because you're a bitch. And in one time it just murdered.
Yeah.
Then he tried to do it again the next week. And I was like, no.
Yeah. You sounded like you.
Well, the whole point to me was to try and make Mark and Joe laugh, because I was like, they're the only audience really, you know? And so
I would never try to make those two guys laugh.
Oh, really?
Just because it's too dope. Like they're such great writers. I'm like, ah.
But I mean, write jokes that they would actually go, wow, it's a joke. And
I'm going to try to sneak in as many daddy jokes as I can. That was my mission.
Get as many DMs as possible. Well, I think that I think people just. Or maybe it's dudes. Maybe it's, I don't know, that it just have inherently they have to be like, well, this is the reason why it happened. Even if they like are half joking or trying to make it sound like a joke. Like, not to make it about my, you know, golf tournaments for me happens all the time. And you're just like, why do you have to be like, online one time a guy thought he was being secretive. He's like, that group in front of us was a bunch of fucking hacks. They definitely cheated. They're pieces of shit. And I was in the same golf group online as him. So I saw it and I was like, oh, that was me, dude. We didn't cheat. We just played okay. And sorry, you're
weird how all of your
sorry, you're so sad
towards his face after that.
And then they're like,
again, wow, geez, I cannot.
He goes, it was so funny because he goes, you guys are a bunch of scrubs. And I was like, I mean, that's kind of a lame thing to say. You didn't think I was going to see this, and now I saw it. So just go, oh, shit, sorry, I didn't think you were going to see it. Talk shit about you behind your back. And then he goes, stop getting so upset, dude. Aren't you a comedian? I call my kid a scrub. And I was like, I don't think that's the own you think it is. You got me. You tell your 8-year-old.
I emotionally traumatize my children all the time. Why can't you handle it?
All right, man. Yeah, got me. But yeah, people can't just go like, oh, that was great. Good for you. I don't know.
No, I definitely can't.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, I mean, the Winter Olympics, do you think like the person on the, you know, bronze medal stand is going like, well, fucking if I would have had those skates.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that years of competition trains you to keep that on the inside, but I truly believe that every single person is like, fuck you, gold medal. The only reason, there was a bubble in the ice, but I popped it when I went over it, which is why I stumbled. And then it was smooth for you, you piece of shit.
Yep, the Zamboni came out right after mine.
I truly believe that, because otherwise I am inherently broken.
And I don't want that. Yeah.
Because I have to rationalize my brain in some way.
Exactly. Right? You watching the Winter Olympics? Is that a big are you one of the eight people?
No. I haven't given a fuck about the Olympics since the 90s.
Me neither, for the most part, but I do wonder about this, like. I haven't either, so I'm not taking the position that people should care, but like there's a lot of people like on Twitter or whatever being like, fuck the Olympics, they suck, they've sucked for years, they're shitty. And I'm like, They're exactly the same as they were.
Right, they've never changed.
When you like them, there's nothing's ever changed. So the only thing that's changed is you, and it's just not as, you know.
Location. Maybe they're like anti-China, you know? They're like, these Olympics suck.
I think it's just we have a million other things to entertain us.
Yeah, it's like baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, but to act like it's the problem of the event, or you know, like
right,
the Olympics well, suck. Like, it's so stupid. And you're like, what's that? Dumb?
Olympics have really gone downhill since '92, man. Like, fucking like whatever.
Yeah.
They put that ramp right next to the nuclear power plant, which is very weird that I've been seeing. There's like a jump right next to the nuclear. Plant.
Really?
The reactors. Yeah. It's there's no snow, and it, you know, they like make the snow for this ramp and that's it. So if I were third place, I'd be like, oh, he probably got radiation.
He got the good snow
longer. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't know. Are we doing well? I don't know nothing. Did it start?
I think we got our first, we got the first medal, but it was a second place medal.
Nah,
I don't know how that works because someone else got a first place medal, but.
I think the thing that sucks to me about the Olympics now as opposed to before is that you didn't have the, like, I wasn't, like, I keep seeing these articles about this is what the Olympic Village is like, and I couldn't give a flying fuck.
Yeah.
And I really miss the days when we didn't have enough airtime or print pages to cover that shit. We're like, but now it's all online, so they're like, here's what the Olympians think about their cardboard beds, and I'm like, I don't give a shit.
All the Olympians are getting herpes. All right.
Yeah, you're gonna get herpes when you fuck all the time. Like,
what,
cool.
What was
yeah, getting herpes is a compliment. It means you're really hot and everybody fucks you all the time.
Right.
Odds are that I was gonna get it.
I can't wait to post that on my new Tinder bio, but
people really like fucking me. That's why I have all the diseases.
I remember the guy, like, we used to have heroes in the Olympics. Like,
sure.
That one guy made the soul patch popular because he was a fast ice skater or whatever.
He was from Seattle. Yoko Ono, right?
Yeah. What was his name? Yoko Ono? I think that's
Apollo Ono.
Okay.
Bringing the soul patch back.
Yeah.
The important
this one's
work.
Next to like a nuclear reactor, so it's just going to, everyone's going to be like, I want a third arm. You know, I want to look cool like the Olympians.
One day the Olympics will be in the reactor.
Ooh.
Our Earth is going to be a hellscape, is the joke there?
Yeah. Apocalyptic hellscape.
Did you hear me say I want a third leg? All right, next.
He's like, I got to repeat the joke.
I get it. Sorry, I was too slow for that one.
Huge dick, and you'll have herpes on your third leg. So, full circle.
Well, let's see. Problematic streaming. Should we talk about that? Donald Trump.
I don't know. I think everyone has the right to say whatever they want, and everyone has the right to hate it. I mean, isn't that what freedom of speech is? I don't understand the. I've heard some severely woke people use a hard R when they were quoting another person's bad joke or something like that, and so I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand that.
I feel like if a white person says the N-word and doesn't use a hard R, it's disingenuous.
Either I feel like,
come on.
Like, you have to say it. If you're going to say it in the tradition of your ancestors.
Yeah.
Like, here's how I can relate. One time I had substitute taught in a class the day they were reading Huck Finn.
Oh God!
Allowed.
Perfect nightmare.
Allowed in class.
Wonder why that teacher took that day off. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sick today. You're covering all the
doing this shit. Let's stop here. I'm gonna be out tomorrow.
We'll go ahead and put a bookmark in that.
Let's get a bald white guy to come in.
And read aloud to the kids. I swear to God, that's 100% true. And I was just like, what are we doing here? What am I supposed to do? And like, she was like, do popcorn reading where you just popcorn around the room. And I was like, these kids are already sweating just to have to read in front of the class. they're counting the paragraphs going like, oh, fuck no. Fuck you.
Laying on me.
Fuck you, dude. And then if I just like choose the one black kid, that's not going to work out very well.
You just keep coming back to him for those passages.
Oh,
that's a bit. That's funny.
Yeah, it will be.
That's funny. That's
really funny. Yeah, just like, hey, Tony, you're up again. Again? Well, I've read like 20 paragraphs today. Wow.
You want to just come in for this word?
At his point.
Like another kid's reading and then you point at Tony, he says it, the other kid keeps going.
Why, again, even if he's having these scientists on that are stupid, like why can't people just listen and go, oh, this guy's an idiot, and then tune out? Like, I don't understand the whole, he's not forcing people to listen to him. He's not.
Is this about Joe Rogan again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Corey's saying the N-word, but
right. No, that brought it back.
I'm not forcing anyone to listen to me say it. I'm just yelling it in grocery stores.
I'm just yelling it.
I asked for permission and they didn't say no, so I thought it was okay.
My black friend said it was cool.
I mean, freedom of speech is a government thing, so that's kind of a part of it, I guess. So it's like, yeah, individual companies can do whatever they want. And so far, Spotify has been like, this is what we want. So
it's weird to me because the people that get their misinformation from Joe Rogan should know better. That's the thing that trips me up, where like I have older conservative relatives that get their misinformation from the only news sources that they trust, which happen to be lying. Also, is MSNBC.
Right.
Just to be clear. But so like when you meet someone that lives in a rural area in their 70s that's not quite informed, it's like, well, I get it. They've been working on you for years.
Yeah.
But then when you meet someone that's like in their mid-30s in a bustling metropolis with just tons of ideas all around them, and they're like, no, I think this Joe Rogan guy's figured it all out. I'm like, well, you're a fucking idiot. And it turns out there's so many of that person.
Right.
Joe Rogan is worth millions of dollars.
Enough to be the most popular podcast in the world, right? So yeah, well, but I guess that's kind of an interesting part of it too, of like the woke mob is so but it's like, this is mainstream now. It's the most popular thing in the world.
It's also like the idea of a woke mob, it's more of a sleeping, shambling mob. And then a couple really loud people on Twitter being like, this is not okay.
Did you guys bring the pitchforks? Nah, dude. I didn't even think about it. I'd rather stay home. Anyway, well, it hasn't that's it. There's a lot of
should Rudy Giuliani be a guest on The Masked Singer, like aside from the fact that he's not a singer or a celebrity really? Like,
yes,
I get that they're just like, we want clicks or whatever, but
yeah, go ahead.
Well, did people actually walk off?
I think the two of the judges did, apparently. I mean, they,
I don't know, I can't,
their morals could stand The Masked Singer, but not The Masked Singer with Rudy Giuliani, you know?
Right.
Look, I have sold my soul, and this is the limit, you know? I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
I got to the bottom of that contract with the devil, and then I saw Rudy Giuliani, and I was like, no, sir.
No, sir.
I respect democracy. The thing is Rudy Giuliani has been a sideshow act for 35 years. Why would we suddenly think that grift is over?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's been his game this whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's going to be on The Masked Singer. He's
on NBC?
Yeah, he's probably going to win.
Like, who checked off on that? Like, hey, we could get, there's 1,000 great comedians that could use the exposure. There's Nate Abshire is living in his mom's basement. We could get him. We don't have a mask that big for his head, but you know, we could go to the
James Comey already said no.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think that
Robert Mueller was unavailable, so yeah.
I didn't know the show still existed until I saw that story. So I guess maybe, you know, that's kind of the thing of like, hey, great, let's do something crazy, and people will talk about it and know this show exists. It's on right before the Olympics that you're not going to watch.
Put Rudy Giuliani in the Olympics. That's
how I would watch that. I would watch Rudy Giuliani try to push him
down the hill. And...
Yeah. he'd slip on that hair dye, something that in his eyes.
He leaves a trail behind him on the.
That'd be his excuse. The hair dye got my eye.
Oh, I can't see.
I mean, but it's been going on for years. I mean, remember Nancy Kerrigan, like, oh, they took a lead pipe to my knee or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
it was
fake news.
Yeah,
I hate that term. I can't believe I just said it. But here we are. Here we are. Cat, shut up.
That's your how long? That's your cat. You got a cat.
He doesn't do this. What he's doing now, because he knows that I'm doing something, is he's standing approximately 5 feet away where I can't reach him and just meowing at me. But if I move toward him, he'll run.
So you can't strangle him, but if you attempt to, he'll run away.
But he doesn't even want anything. He just
wants to get you to have to stop doing the thing you're doing.
Yes.
Wow. God damn.
It's amazing. The best way I can explain it.
Is it a he?
Yes, it is a he.
All right, okay.
Yeah, his name is Newt.
What's your long-term relationship with this cat? How long have you been together? And
I got him about 2 years ago.
Okay.
He was an orphan, and he showed up on the doorstep of my dad's house. And back then, he was really cute.
Oh, how they all start.
I'm sure he does this about you too.
I mean, he showed up, he was cute, but he's just being an asshole now.
It's because I'm talking.
Yeah.
Is why he's all but amped not up.
To the cat. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where like normally I'm sitting at my computer and I'm not talking and he's fine with that. But now he's like, oh, we're talking, something's going on. But he doesn't know that video.
Well, we can just finish the rest of the show and you can just sit there if that's easier for you.
No. Fuck you.
I didn't even know if that was an insult, but it sounds like it came across that way.
It's just, you know.
I'm not mad about it. It was funny.
There you go.
Funny joke. Yeah.
Speaking of insults, I didn't even intend it. Have you had this where you don't even intend to even make a joke or be roasty or anything, and then the person clearly takes it that way, and you're like, I don't know how to explain my way out of this. You've made your decision. Like, so hey, guy,
you have a fat fucking face. That's all
I want to hear your story now.
It's not that great of a story, but I want to. Okay, so this guy, I'm gonna go with I'll be vague. A guy has had a few pops and he's talking about his job, and he works with someone kind of famous. And this woman at the bar was like, oh, do you know so-and-so? I'll say the name. Do you know Morgan? And he's like, no. And she's like, well, he also works or used to work for him. And they're kind of going back and forth and it's kind of stalling. And he's had a few drinks. So they're not like catching. It just didn't overlap. Morgan's gone and now he's in. And I go, oh, well, maybe you're kind of like the new Morgan, you know? And he hated that. And I was trying to figure out, like, I don't even understand. He was just like, I'm not the new or old fucking anything. I was like,
he's just wasted.
I think so, but he was like, yes. So maybe it was just wasted and that was the issue. But he's like, he just goes, assumptions, bro. Don't make assumptions, bro.
Yeah, I think you're talking to a barfly and...
caught him on a drunk
moment.
He doesn't
understand the context of your comment.
Yeah, it wasn't even like that was the thing. I was like, oh, I'm not even like, and then like I told someone else later and he laughed really hard. And I was like, what's this? Isn't funny? Is it just like cadence that you're laughing at? Like I didn't is my tone shitty? I was like, maybe. Because I was like, no.
I feel like he transferred how poorly the conversation was already going on to you when you jumped
in.
Corey's is fucking Corey ruining conversations. Oh, okay. I didn't know the guy. That was part of it. There might have been like something earlier in the week that was a tiny bit awkward. I don't think.
I mean, so, maybe it has more to do with that Morgan fella. You know, like Morgan was either a really great guy or like a shitty guy, and so they were.
I think it was a woman. So maybe he didn't know Morgan. That was the thing. It's like, I don't know Morgan. Never met Morgan. I don't know nothing about Morgan. So then someone else thought maybe it was like he didn't want to be compared to a woman. And I was like, I'm not saying you're a woman. I don't even know. Anyway. But that's my biggest struggle is with guys, men who are, you try to like interact with and they like get really self-conscious and like pouty. I'm like, who are these guys? Like, I don't.
Oh, that's me.
That should be us. We're comedians. We are anxious. We're fucking a mess. And then there's all these guys who are like, hey, you shouldn't have said that. I'm like, anyway. What are you gonna do? What's new in life though? You're back.
What's happening out there, Minneapolis?
Talk about
Acme
you.
Comedy Club, great. Great club.
I've been doing sets and nothing else.
Yeah.
I basically sleep until the afternoon and do comedy sometimes.
It's annoying to go out for me. You know, they're just like. I even went to the movie theater the other day and they're like, do you have your proof of vaccine? I was like, I left it in the car. I don't know. Like, yeah. They're like, do you have a photo? And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me pinch zoom on this thing so you can verify. Like, I took a photo of a vaccine card. Is good enough for you? You know, like, it just is like, can we just get on with things? Like,
yeah. We don't really have, like, all of the businesses that I've been to. Like most of them now are just, they put up a sign that says by entering, you agree that you're vaccinated.
Oh.
Where like the first week it was like, oh, this is serious. And then everyone figured out like, oh, no one actually gives a shit. They just have to like do that. But mostly for me, I've just been like really lazy. The winters here hit me pretty hard.
Yeah. Like, all the extra stuff to get it. No, I just don't go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, we've got this fucking cat. We've got the latest round. Hold on one second.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I didn't want
to. No, he's gonna murder.
Oh my god. Watch the Patreon. He's murdering the cat.
Please don't leave the cat alone. What are you doing?
Fine.
Oh, okay.
He's fine. He's gonna sit there and fucking run circles around me meowing.
We've got a what now?
We thought you were going to murder the cat on the Zoom. And
say, yeah, no, I love really the cat. Everyone, I love the cat.
You want to see this? It's getting bloody.
I love the cat. I don't like the cat. There's a big difference there.
Fair.
He's very important to me. I would do anything for him. He's a giant pain in the ass all the time.
What do you have? We've got what? I can't remember. What were you saying?
We've got the new round of police murder riots.
Is that going on again?
I had demonstrations so far. We'll see. I mean, you know. They keep doing it. The murder.
They shot someone who was like sleeping with a gun in their hand or something like that.
Yeah, it was a no-knock warrant, and I haven't watched the video.
The judge from the Chauvin trial signed off on the warrant, and they're like,
"Yeah." Also, our mayor claimed that he suspended no-knock warrants 2 years ago, or like a year ago,
right?
And so now, his latest apology was that the language wasn't as clear as it should have been. It was like, well, it's pretty fucking clear on your website where it said that you put a moratorium on no-knock warrants that they're still serving.
I didn't know what moratorium meant.
Right. So that's pretty wild, and it feels, you know, not great.
Right.
Hopeless is the word, I think. Where like it feels like in the last round we got so close to real public safety reform.
Yeah.
The strategy of the establishment is just to grind it down because people lose interest over time.
Yeah.
And it feels like that, with the help of our dipshit mayor, is what's happening. But I really want to have something positive to say at the end of this, and I don't. So I'm just trying to make my inflection sound hopeful towards the end.
Where do you live in Minneapolis? You know, like
South Minneapolis.
Okay. So was any of this stuff close to you? I remember talking to Mike Brody a little bit. He was like, my CVS burned down twice.
No, not that close.
Okay.
None of the like Brian Miller is much closer than so I have the very
to the afternoon, no problem,
cushy keyboard warrior type interaction with it, where I have a lot of strong statements on Facebook, and then I'm glad it's all happening over there.
Well, yeah, it's pretty cool to have that amazing club, though. That's so that you get to just do. Is this what are you doing this weekend? You're headlining,
featuring. Yeah, I'm headlining this weekend.
Oh, very, very exciting. That's so
which
cool.
is fun. Yeah, I really like the club. It's great. It's you know, the last few years have been a bummer just in terms of COVID and then and all of that, but. But it's great. I'm excited for that. I love being there. I think that like it's easy to think that I'm a great comedian if you see me at Acme, and it's really easy to think I'm not if you see me anywhere else.
I don't see that for you, but I being to the club once and watching the show, I was like, oh wow, yeah, just everybody kills here.
Now you were at this party that Corey was not necessarily invited to, but showed up. He keeps telling the story about how he was awkward. He thought he's going to get kicked out. Can you verify the facts of this story? He said, talk to him so that he wouldn't.
I was unaware of all of this until a certain human came over and was like, we don't belong here. We're not allowed here. I just got 86th. You better leave soon. I'd advise you to leave soon. And I was like, wow, what's going on here? I don't know nothing about nothing. So I didn't leave because nobody asked me to leave. So anyway, yeah, that's where I'm coming from. But I don't know if Nate has any knowledge of any of this, to be honest.
I don't have any special insight except that, you know, I mean, you're at a party, I typically try not to piss the hosts off, just in general would be, if you want to stay, a good rule to live by. It's definitely one that I've broken several times in my life, but I mean, you know, that usually it doesn't bode well for your lifetime at the party.
Right. I didn't piss the hosts off, I hope.
Right. Right.
No, you didn't. No, you're fine. No one was, literally nobody was annoyed at you.
What you're saying is they're still talking about him to this day?
Yes, and, yeah. What I basically,
a photo of him on the wall.
If you had left within 7 seconds of having that conversation, you would have only been on a 3-week suspension. But now.
86 for life. From a
just 19 months. Just 19 months to think about what you did.
And
she was like pretty intense, and I was like, oh, these people don't even know who I am. They don't know I exist. They won't know I exist after I leave here. I think I'm pretty good to be safe, and I'm just gonna sit near Chad Daniels and be like, he said I could come.
He's very, very adamant about when people can come.
He always tells me when I have to.
What's the Minneapolis scene like? You got a couple clubs. You got are you allowed to work at the separate clubs? Okay, good.
Yeah, you can work all the clubs.
Is there a good amount of like casinos and bar gigs to hold you over to?
There's, you know, the brewery shows that have popped up in the last 5+ years have really like bumped up the amount of local work that's around, because our casino gigs have mostly dried up. But they're like the casinos that are closest to us are just not like the gigs there were not great.
Yeah.
Historically. So I don't really miss them at all. But
I feel like the pandemic dried up all of our like independent, like I did a bar show for the first time recently, and it was it's been like 3 or 4 years or something like that. And it's just like, it was really interesting, but it was fun, but it was very like, there's like skee ball and pool tables and it's no cover. And I was like nervous going in. I was like, I've been doing clubs and like, I've been touring with Hofstetter doing little theaters and stuff like that. So I was like, shit, is my act even going to work anymore? You know, but it was fun. You know, I was like, Zoltan Cassis has a great special that he titled Dancing with Drunks, because he was just getting heckled the whole time. And I thought that was a great analogy of like, yeah, we're going over here now. And, you know, we're like leading them places. And there was like a guy, you know, I was doing some anti-cop jokes and this guy was very obviously conservative. And so like, you know, he...
Wait, do you mean he was very... outwardly conservative?
Yeah okay, well okay. Like I did some political stuff up top. I try to hit both sides immediately so that everyone knows like I'm just telling a joke. I'm not trying to pick a side. I just wrote these jokes and I have no act anymore, so whatever. Because I just recorded this album and so I got 15 minutes. And so but anyway, I did the Biden joke and he loved that, and then the Trump joke and he was like, ah, wait a second. But he still laughed. But I kind of knew where he was going with it. And then...
Hang on.
Yeah. And then I did this, you know, I do the line of like, maybe a cop doesn't want to get a vaccine because he's got qualified immunity or whatever. And it kind of bombed because it's the bar gig. And so he like leaned over to his friends. He's like, yeah, no one laughed at that joke. I was like, yeah, because it's a free cover bar show. They don't know what qualified immunity, you know, like, right. You know, like
they don't know what it fucking means.
Yeah, they don't know what it, they don't get it. That's what they don't. They're not laughing. But it was fun. It was riff heavy. And, you know, I just remember being like, oh, no, I don't know if I have my skills anymore. But it was a fun time.
That's fun. Do you get nervous for like club shows and theater shows? Do you have that same feeling?
I generally, like, especially opening for like Hofstetter this last year, is like he brings in a very specific crowd. They want really good jokes. They're very liberal, woke, whatever. So, you know, certain things, but I know that I can get a rise out of them by setting up something a certain way, you know, like,
sure.
I do a bit like, you know, Biden really got that vaccine out quickly. And sometimes people clap and I'm like, oh God, they're going to hate this turn. And then I go, well, it helps to have a son who knows where to get drugs. And then they go, ah, and then I go, that would work for either president. And then they go, oh, okay.
Real push and pull on.
Yeah.
That
yeah. It's very like give and take, like we're playing, we're doing.
He's going right. He's going left.
Yeah. Oh, where's he going to go? Yeah.
Killer crossover. All right.
Yeah. Interesting. But yeah, I mean, every show I'm a little bit like more so like, you know, I'm trying to write really a lot. I'm trying to, you know, I recorded the album in July and it came out in October. And so like that to me is the challenge now of like, I got this new bit. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if COVID jokes are going to last any, you know, I feel like COVID's going to end in like 3 weeks and no one's going to want to hear about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And already happened.
A lot of my jokes are like COVID context, you know, like, well, I've just been sitting around watching Netflix the whole time. And like, and right. I'm like, I don't know how, you know, that's the stuff that makes me nervous. Not like, I hope this crowd likes me. Like I can bomb for 15 minutes, you know, like I do the thing where I like, oh, I'm going to spend this on this. And like, even if I hate the show, I'm like, this is what I'll do with this money. And I think about the things that I'm going to do later.
Oh, so you totally check out.
Oh, I don't look at people. I don't make eye contact. I stare at the back of the room. I'm basically reading a teleprompter in the back of my brain. And okay. And that's, I'm like, we'll see how this one works. Okay, well, nothing. All right.
Nate, I listened to your album for the purpose of this compliment. And it was
That's the most truthful thing it anyone's long, said about this and, album.
very funny. The horse analogy, great. Other jokes, great. I don't know the time frame on that, but where are you at now? Where are you at these days?
Material-wise, or
yeah, just like
so building, we recorded,
frustrated, still doing some stuff.
we recorded.
Not trying to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine. We recorded that album in October of 2019.
Okay.
Oh, great.
So right before my career ended for 2 years. So right now I've got about 20 to 30 new minutes.
Gotcha.
And then, so I basically, I'll use some of the openers from the last album to kind of set up. And then I got a bunch of new stuff that I'm really excited to work on. And
sure.
So that aspect has been really fun. Like, I'm kind of the opposite of Andrew, where I get nervous for like packed house, good venue.
Mm.
But a bar show, I don't give a fuck. Like, I wish that I could be as free in my head at a sold out club show that I've never, like a club I've never worked at, as I am at a bar with 12 people, because it is very common for me to do well at that latter show just because I don't fucking care.
I did feel that a little bit. I was like, this is kind of fun and loose and like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I did like, I was supposed to do, you know, whatever it is, 45, but then I like, oh, I did an hour 10 with all the 45 minutes of jokes, just riffing and whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was the, you know, I'm the guy running the karaoke machine that I'm speaking into. He kept, he kept laughing like, ah, and I made a joke like, hey, man, stop clutching your chest every time you laugh. I still got to get paid, you know, like, I don't care if you die, just pay me in advance, you know. And I'm like making fun of this guy, Trump loving guy. And I'm doing, and I'm like, there is a little bit of like freedom where you're like, even if this goes poorly, no one would care. But right. When it's that club show, I don't get nervous that it's going to go poorly, because I think it's, I'm like, oh, they're here for comedy. I get to do my intended set.
When I first started, someone told me that there's a booker that books a lot of like bar shows around the Midwest, and someone told me, like, no matter how bad you think you did, the person last week did worse. So act like it went fine and no one writes you a bad review. And I swear to God, it's true. Because I remember the first couple of years just bombing my face off for 30 minutes and keep getting work from the booker. Like, eventually.
Now, what is a bombing, you know, because that can include people yelling at you, that can be just people not laughing at anything. Like, is it just silence for 30 minutes?
Generally, I feel like bombing my face off is not getting laughs. And then they're like, when I have a meltdown is a different category, right? Where like,
but you,
like,
sometimes the meltdown can save you, though. That's what's great, you know.
Meltdown never saves me, baby.
Oh, okay. Not the way I do it.
Not one fucking time.
Have you had any stories where people yelled at you? Or one of my first, we have this thing called triple runs in Seattle area.
I'm familiar.
And the old joke was you get an oil change in between gigs every time. And that's how far apart they are. But I did a casino and this, you know, it's bombing, getting bad laughs and people heckling me. And finally, this woman, I was like 20 minutes into the show, and she like looked at her friends from she's in the very front. And she like turned to her friends and was like, if he doesn't get off stage soon, I'm going to come unplug the microphone. Just not even like quiet, not even like trying to whisper, like, oh, this fucking guy. Just loud so that I could hear it. Everyone heard it. And it was that Bill Burr moment where I heard if you don't do 30 minutes that you don't get paid. So I was like looking at my timer, like, I got 8 more minutes. I got to fucking do it.
Right.
And yeah, then the headliner went up and was like, you're a cunt, get out of here. And he doesn't work anymore, but that's besides the point. He still emails us a lot, but.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I became really good at talking for 30 minutes very early on.
Yeah.
But when I get mad, it becomes like very, it's not great. It's not a good look. Like if I get actually mad on stage, I immediately lose the whole room.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to be somewhere else. So I have to keep it very, very chill.
Including you. You're like, oh, I gotta go. Well, I think you should come up to Seattle and kill at my bar show.
Oh, yeah. I love bar shows.
Hopefully I'll bring back someday. And then also I have a theater show, so you could do that too. And hold me a fucking deal.
You got the whole spread there.
Yeah, well, a little come up. The city gave me money, so
you got a grant because it's good for the community to produce comedy.
They don't have these COVID grants. They're just really trying to get that money out. They don't do any vetting. They don't look at anything from
they
my past.
They could at least watch a YouTube video and been like, "We might go in another direction."
Could have. But I'm glad they don't. And that's great talking to you. And on the internet, where can people find you? What's your handle on the internet?
It's at Nate Abshire on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I think those are the only ones, right?
What's your OnlyFans?
All right. I don't have an OnlyFans yet. I'm on Twitch. I'm the Donger Party.
Whoa. That's funny.
Tell us about Twitch a little bit. We've been talking about maybe doing a Twitch thing for the podcast. I hear that's popular, but I don't know anything about it.
I just play video games, and so if you want to hear me cuss while I play video games, that's where you can do that.
N-word?
No, I stay away from the N-word.
You on Xbox Live, actually.
Probably.
People would be shocked at how many kids in high schools say that word of all different races and ethnicities. And I'm not taking a position. I'm just, people would be shocked, I think.
I don't really voice chat with the children's I play video games against, typically.
Probably best.
But
your mom's a hoe. Fuck you. I'll kill your fucking family.
Well, are you heckling me, meltdown? Piece of shit?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to leave as soon as you do. Well, find him at Nate Abshire, and he's from the Donger Party. It's the new political party we have in America. Fuck the Democrats and Republicans, the Dongers, and at Andrew J. Rivers on all the things. I'm at Corey Michaelis Comedy on all the things. And this has been Homeschool. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.